help you find that way of giving. I want to preach a message today called The Transforming Power of Grace. The Transforming Power of Grace. I want to take you to Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in this gospel, the righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as is written, the righteous will live by their faith. I love this scripture. In this gospel, a righteousness is from God is revealed, that is by faith from very first to very last. This gospel comes to us by faith. This Greek word, Paul says, this gospel is the power. That when he uses that Greek word dunamis, Paul uses it a couple of different places. Oftentimes it's associated by Paul with God's supernatural wisdom. God's power is always connected to his supernatural wisdom. It's, in other words, it's not reliant on human wisdom. Human wisdom tends to slow down the power of God. Supernatural wisdom unlocks the power of God. And he oftentimes uses that same Greek word dunamis in the context of the resurrection power of Jesus. The same word used, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in you, right? It's very cool. And it's association oftentimes with God acting. It's not a passive power. It's not potential energy. It's the power that's released when God acts. That's what Paul's talking about. And it's not about ideas. It's about effective power. So I made up this definition. This is Haswell definition of that word, okay? The Greek scholar is going to go, what lexicon did you get it from? Tell them from Haswell 3, verse 19. Power, the supernaturally wise resurrection power sent to powerfully change us. That's what that word means in that context. The supernaturally wise resurrection power sent to powerfully change you and me. This gospel has that power for salvation. That the Greek word salvation is soteria. It probably conveys the thought of the widest possible inclusion of all God's benefits in Christ to believers, according to the Everyday Bible Commentary series. That word means that there is this effective, dynamic power in the gospel to transform every single aspect of your life. This power of the gospel is made available in verse 16 to everyone who believes. Not to everybody who is perfect. Not to everybody who never says anything wrong. Not to everybody whose attitudes are always right. This power comes into your life if you believe. We should have just all just celebrated a little happy dance, because that means I can reach it and you can reach it and we can all just say, Lord, I'm going to believe. And it's not dependent on the perfection of my performance. Praise God. Because no one could stand if it was. Right. Now, we've been given God's power for making everything absolutely right in our lives. Now, salvation, as we understand, is something that's freely given. It's not earned by us. God gives us this great grace without regard to our merit or our national origin or specific religious distinction. You don't get it because you're particularly gifted in one area or another. You don't get it because of your family origin, your socioeconomic standing. You get it when God enables you to believe in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, my experience, and I'm pretty sure if I polled the room, this would be everybody's experience. When I came to give my life to Jesus Christ, I meant it, man. I wept and said, Jesus, you can have my life. And he saved me to the bone. And I woke up 3 weeks after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I was rocked by the realization that the things that used to hold me, I hadn't even thought about for 3 weeks, let alone participated in. When I said yes to Jesus, he just came in and he blew out. He just destroyed. He utterly wrecked anything that the enemy had built up in my life, and I was a brand new creation. I was free. I walked around just going, woo, look at me. And I suspect that when we say, I came to Jesus Christ, you would experience that dynamic power on the inside of you to transform everything, to break the old habits, to make you a brand new person. But as in most of us, I began to experience there were one or two little areas that he left around for me to figure out, and, right? Because I realized that in the areas where he gave me instant complete victory, I started to look down on people who didn't have instant complete victory. I was like, if you were devout like I am, you would also have freedom, you ugly thing. If you spent an hour a day in the Word like I do, you'd also be free, you ugly thing. Amen? Was it just me? You all look so spiritual, like you would never do that. And a gentle arrogance began to form around the beauty of the grace of God, because God gave it to me as a free gift, and I began treating other people as though I'd earned it. Make sense? It's a subtle thing, that religious spirit, man. And I began to see, I've got victory in a whole bunch of areas. I don't have victory here. And I think the Lord leaves a little moment, you know, there's some spaces in different places, in different people's, and he just gives us a little something to gnaw at, to work at, to work through. Am I preaching to anybody? So you go, because I need to learn how to respond to the Holy Spirit. I need to learn how to appropriate this gospel and obey the Holy Spirit and see victory in my life over this thing. Sometimes I have to push and work a little bit for victory. I have to learn to be an overcomer, just like Jesus overcame. And finding the balance there, because the truth is, this gospel is the power of God for salvation. But this gospel requires you and I to respond to the Holy Spirit. I saw this. This is for free. This is not in the notes, but Romans 8:1, such a beautiful scripture. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I go, praise God, no condemnation for me. And it says, because the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The because, there is no condemnation for you because is attributed not to the work of the cross, but to the obedience of the Holy Spirit. Oh, so you mean it's not just something that Jesus did, I actually have to follow the law of the Spirit. So that's for a few of you. I'm going to move on. There is a responsibility for me not only to believe on the power of the cross, but to also take the hand of the Holy Spirit and say, would you lead me? And as I respond to the Holy Spirit, condemnation drops off my life. Not just because of the cross. Now, I have some concerns, some grief, honestly, and some questions about the state of the global church. And my question is, are we believing the right gospel? Because as I'm looking at the church global, I'm seeing some troubling issues and some mess and some outwardly whitewashed, but inwardly dead men's bones. And I don't want to be shooting. I'm not the sheriff of the body of Christ. I don't want to be shooting everybody else. I just felt like I want to come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you work in me? Because these are gifted people. These are more gifted people than I. Understand? These are gifted people. These are people who are devout. They're trying to serve God. And then you hear what's been going on in their lives, and you go, how did this person lead? And then he's been messing with little girls for 20 years. Do you understand? You go, what happened here? Martin Luther, towards the end of his life, he started to get really troubled with the same issue. This is the guy who brought the global church, the revelation, the justification by faith alone. Because it's not by all the works, it's by justification by faith. You have to believe. And when you believe, you get it all. And it exploded around Europe and then around the world. And we just celebrate the beauty, what a courage this guy had. But Luther, towards the end of his life, was really despondent because he said, the church is in a mess. This is what he said. This is one of his clearest writings on the councils in the church. He said, the bishops are more concerned about their bellies and their money than the gospel. They care more for their power and pomp than the salvation of souls. In Table Talk, towards the end of his life, he wasn't writing this, but his students sat around, they would transcribe everything he said around the table, right? So this is what he said: "I would have not have believed it if somebody had told me 20 years ago that our people would have become more licentious, greedy, and spiteful than they were under the Pope." Wow. So the question in my head is, if this gospel has the power to transform us powerfully internally, it's the power of God for salvation, why are we seeing some people doing some stuff that ought not to be happening in the kingdom of our God? And I'm not pointing at them, I'm looking at me. I'm not even pointing at you. I'm going, how can I walk? Because here's the honest truth, friends. Here's the honest truth. I want to be pure in my heart. One of the things I say thank you to the Lord most for is that Michelle and I have been a couple for 43 years. I still get butterflies when I think we're going to have an evening alone together. Amen. That's still the truth in my heart. When nobody else sees in the secret place of my heart, I still respect and honor that woman. I still get butterflies about her. And that, honestly, is what I say thank you to the Lord for the most. Because I could pretend, because I love this woman, but secretly, internally, have disdain for her. But I don't. And that's what Paul said. I don't inwardly burn, Paul said. I'm not secretly lusting after sin. Paul said, it's to the bone. I want to bring honor to my King Jesus Christ. And the problem is, when in the times past, when we try and call the church back to purity and righteousness, we tend to get legalistic on the church. And Paul said, these things have an appearance of wisdom with the self-imposed worship and the harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Oh, it's external. We could whip the church into shape. I could preach up a storm and get you all semi-guilty and you'd all sit up a little straighter. But I'm not interested in you sitting a little straighter in public. What I'm interested in, what I'm crying out to God for is, would you do a work deep in me, in the core of my being? Because I want to walk well. I want to walk in humility and purity and love. I want to push away from all hatred and anger and malice and slander. I want to be the kind of person you want me to be. And so my question is, how do we get the gospel from here into here? Because I'm not ashamed of this gospel. And this gospel is by faith, not by works, by faith, from its very first to its very last piece. Are you hearing me? So I want to call us this morning. I want to just have a moment. Maybe I'm just wanting to open my heart a little to you and say, can I just show you the prayers that I'm praying right now? Can I show you what I'm trusting God for right now? Because I want us to be a people to the bone who walk what we talk. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm so far off my notes, I don't know where we are. Because we've all been privy to the scandals of the church and the last powerful ministers and ministries brought low and I don't want to look at the blatant abuses and the terrible moral lapses. I just want to look to my own heart and test ourselves, as Paul says. Because Paul said, you should test yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Are you walking out the gospel? So this is what 2 Corinthians 13 said. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? You know, people say, oh, Greg, but you know you're preaching legalism. No, I'm not preaching legalism because the Bible teaches me that when the foundation is laid, Paul says, I laid a foundation among you, and the seal of God's foundation is this, that God knows those who are his, and that anybody who turns to the Lord must turn away from unrighteousness. This is how you know the foundation of grace is laid in somebody's life. They know I'm my beloved's and he is mine, and I have nothing more to do with sin. That's how you know grace has taken root. Not, praise God, I'm forgiven, let's go party. That person, the foundation of grace has not yet been laid in their life. They don't understand grace. You all went suddenly silent on me. Don't, just keep coming. Stick with me. So let's examine the gospel and see if we're believing it. So let me get through this quickly. Here we go. I'm going to put up scriptures, and there's a lot of scriptures, and welcome to my life. I would suggest you take a photograph if you want to go read this later on. I don't have time to go through it. I just put a lot of scriptures up because I wanted you to know that I'm not making this stuff up. This is thorough in the scriptures. Number one, our gospel that we preached, the gospel that Paul preached was this: Jesus died for us. This is part of the gospel that is the most heralded part of the gospel. And it's beautiful because it is a tremendous truth. Jesus died for us. He died, and Romans 5, 6, he died for the ungodly. Romans 5, 8, he died for us. Corinthians 15, he died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Titus 2, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all unrighteousness. And it's a beautiful truth. Jesus died, and these scriptures will come up, you'll see them. He died for us and to ransom us, to forgive our sins, to enter a covenant with us while we were godless and sinners and helpless to help ourselves. He helped us. He died to deliver us from the present age. He died to redeem us from all lawlessness, and he died to demonstrate his love for us. Those are all plainly stated in the scriptures that I've put out here. This is by no means the exhaustive list. I just wanted you to get a sense of this is the truth. And so you hear the gospel, Jesus died for you. And that gospel is proclaimed because in that gospel, it is a beautiful message about he has washed me clean from my sins. But that is not the whole gospel. That is a part and a beautiful start to the gospel. Jesus died in your place so that he could forgive you and wash you clean from all your sins. And people say, hallelujah, praise God. But God didn't just wash you clean and say, are you ready? Now go and try harder. Because that way, within a month, you'd have to be back getting washed again. You'd be back in an Old Testament cycle of messing up, re-sacrificing, messing up, re-sacrificing. God didn't want the spin cycle. He wanted a once and for all cleansing. And so what he said is, I will wash you. I'll send my son to die for you. And his blood shed will cover all of your sins and wash away all of your sins. The blood of Jesus was necessary to wash all your sins. But the death of Jesus was necessary to kill the sinful nature in you. Because God didn't just want to wash your sins and leave you with a sinful nature and say, go try harder. God wanted to wash all your sins and kill the sinful nature in you. So the second thing is Jesus died as us. Jesus died for us, but Jesus died as us. This is less preached in the gospel, but it's such a necessary piece. So let me just work, stick with me. Romans 5, 12, for as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Paul keeps bringing us back to this understanding that there are two federal heads. Adam was the federal head of mankind. Why? Because Adam was the first man. And out of Adam and Eve, Adam and woman preceded all mankind. So everything that happened in Adam was then magnified and multiplied in mankind. And when Adam sinned before he had children and rebelled against God, everyone that emanated from Adam was considered to be a rebel against God, born not in the way God had created Adam, but now born, sold as a slave to sin. Therefore, Adam was the representative head. He was the federal head of mankind. Everybody born under Adam, born into this world, is conceived and considered to be a sinner, even before they have practically done any sin in their life. Because they proceed from Adam, the federal head. What happened to the federal head is representative of the entirety. So God created another federal head, the second Adam. In fact, Paul calls him the last Adam. Ooh, I like that too much. Because when you come into Jesus, the last of your Adamic nature is done with. He said the last Adam came as the second federal head. And you can become part of Jesus' family by belief. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you step out of your relationship with Adam as your federal head into the relationship with Jesus as your federal head. So 1 Corinthians 15 says, for as by a man came death, so by a man comes also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall live. If you were considered to be in Adam, which means if you were born on this planet, you're an Adamite. If you were born again, by the Holy Spirit, you're considered part of the family of God. You're a Christian. Yeah. You're out of Adam. You're now in Christ. Yeah. In Adam, death. In Christ, life. Yeah. In Adam, dying sinful nature. In Christ, brand new living nature. Yeah. Ooh, happy dance time. Yeah. Hebrews 2 says that he might taste death for everyone in bringing many sons to glory. You have to understand this. Jesus died as you. You know in those movies where they go, okay, we've got an army here and we've got an army there. Let's all fight it out and hundreds of thousands of people are going to die. And the guy goes, why don't we let you send your champion and I'll send my champion. And let them fight. And whoever wins then. And you go, yeah, good plan. But now your champion goes out and if your champion dies, you're all slaves. So you cheer your champion. Go, buddy. Jesus made a champion for mankind. You know what the weird thing is? Jesus went out, won the battle, completely conquered the enemy, made a public show of him openly by the cross, raised from the dead, triumphed in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, given all glory, and then God said, who do you want to be part of? Adam or Jesus? I want to be with Jesus. Because he's the winner. God said, I'm going to give you a federal head, but I'm going to show you how this ends. Now you choose which one you want to be part of. I want to be part of Jesus. I want to be part of the Jesus crowd. If somebody's going to represent me as a federal head, it's going to be Jesus, please. Jesus died as you. So many scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I'm skipping. Middle one. Here we go. One has died for all, therefore all died. So you got to hear this one. As a representative head, if you believe in Jesus Christ, he died. And because he died and was buried and was raised again and is seated in the heavenly realms, the Bible says, now you died and were buried and were raised and were seated. This is our gospel. Don't stop at Jesus washed your sins. Understand that Jesus died for you, but he died as you. And because he died as you, you died. Got to hear this. You got to hear this. We died with him. 1 Corinthians 12, for by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one spirit to drink. When you believe, the Holy Spirit took you and he submerged you into the body of Christ. He submerged you into Christ. You are now inseparable from Jesus Christ by your faith. When you believed, he put you in Christ and he sealed you in Christ. You are now in Christ. There is now and therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Why? Because you're in Christ. How did you get there? By faith. Not by works. Jesus died as you, and he died as me. And because he died, I died. Ooh, I don't have time. Please go read Romans 6. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 6, for we know. Do you know? Paul said, we know. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body that was ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died is free from sin. When he represented you, when he represented me, he tasted death for us all. And he's our champion, the head of our family, God's appointed representative for all mankind, the high priest forever. A couple of weeks back, we had this baptismal service here where people got in the water as a physical demonstration of the spiritual truth that they have been submerged into Christ and they died and they were baptized into his death and they were baptized into his resurrection and a brand new life. Don't tell me, I gave my life to Jesus, nothing changed. That's not our gospel. Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. I cling to the grace of God. But because I cling to this gospel and I understand Jesus died for me, but he died as me and I died with him, I no longer live. I no longer have the right to my own preferences. I no longer have the right to sulking and pouting or to throwing out my opinion, or because I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I have the right to echo his voice. I have the right to say what he says. I have the right to confess his word. I don't have the right because I died with him. Too few people putting their faith out for this one. Romans 6 again, verse 11. Well, let's go to verse 10. The death Jesus died, he died to sin once and for all, but the life he now lives, he lives to God. Verse 11. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. Too few times when we preach the gospel, we preach this one. But this is part of the gospel. This is the gospel that has power to transform us internally. You died with Jesus Christ and you're dead. And you know what now? Consider yourself to be dead. Think about that. Let me move on. Number three, Jesus lives in us. Ooh, part of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If I'm captivated by fear or anxiety or depression or lust or love of money, it's not just me standing here trying to fight it. I have the King of Glory lives inside of me. And we can fight it together. Can I tell you something? None of those things hold him. He's not scared of anything. He's not depressed about anything. He's not anxious about anything. He's not in lust about anything. He's free and he lives in me. And I go, oh, this thing feels like it's too big for me. Guys, not too big for me. Could we do this together? By all means. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The gospel is not, I'll wash you clean. No, you good. Now the rest is up to you. No, it is a gospel by faith from its very beginning to the very time you close your eyes and open them in heaven. It's always faith, the whole way. I got scripture. Yeah. John 14, in that day you will know that I'm in the Father and that you're in me and that I'm in you. Jesus living in us to empower us is so impactful. Because when temptation comes, there is a power in you. And I need to proclaim that to you. I need to preach this gospel so that next time it comes, you can put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to white knuckle it some more, show a little more. Just lift your faith and say, Lord, you live in me. I'm going to trust you. This gospel is by faith. But we need to preach the true gospel to the people of God. Jesus, I died to this, and you're living in me. I'm reaching out by faith. Jesus, thrive on the inside of me. Lay hold of the gears of my decision-making. Empower me to obedience. Do in me everything that's pleasing to the Father. Work in me according to your word, the desires that are in line with your will. Like a psalmist said, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I want it to the bone. The secret whispers of my heart, the internal gears, the stuff that moves me deep within. Holy Spirit, take hold of all of that. Jesus, live in me and live that out in me so that it's to the bone. Friends, this is not such a sexy sermon, I know. Because some of you, it's not going to make a huge difference to your external display. But for some of us, this is the stuff. Because I'm saying, I'm not that impressed with the external display. We've had too many people with very impressive external displays. And then you find out what's going on and they're full of dead men's bones. Yeah. And I don't want to be that guy. And I don't want you to be that guy. And the reason God gives us family, and the reason he gives us elders and deacons, is so that if we are that guy, if you are caught in a sin, because James says, listen, man, if you're perfect in everything you say, you're a perfect man. He said, but we all say stupid stuff all the time. And Hebrews says that throw off the sin that so easily can entangle. We live in a world that is at war with our kingdom and with our God, and we have to walk through it, and we have to live through it, and we have to work in it. And friends, sin is going to jump at you, and temptation is going to pounce, and that's just the reality of life. And every now and again, you get tripped up by some nonsense sin that you weren't desiring, but here you are. That's why God gives us the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters around you can love you and work with you and pray with you. So go to them and say, man, I'm struggling with this. Go to somebody that you can trust and say, I got an issue. Can I just talk to you? Because we're not out dealing condemnation to one another. We're in the business of helping one another. Because we all need it. Lastly, Jesus wants to live through us. Jesus died for you. Jesus died as you. Jesus lives in you. Jesus wants to live through you. Galatians 2:20 again. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live. Christ who lives in me. I always carry around in my body the death of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul said, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in my body. Philippians 1, I pray that now as always, Paul, that Christ will be honored in my body, whether I choose life or death. This scripture in John 15, I've been living on this for a couple of months now. Abide in me and I'll abide in you, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I've been preaching. I'm over 2,000 sermons in my life. I can preach a few messages, right? I got it in the bag. I've had my 10,000 hours of practice. I'm in. What I really want, because I could function for a while not being in a vital walk with Jesus. But Jesus said, I don't care how cute you are, I don't care how much habit you have at being good, if you don't abide in me and my word abide in you, you cannot bear any fruit. But if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you'll bear a lot of eternal fruit. I just love that. Because that means there's never going to be a moment in my life when I'm not utterly dependent on Jesus as the vine to stay connected to him so that I can bear fruit. But that's what he said. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Because I wanted you to go bear a lot of eternal fruit. I want to live through you. I want to produce fruit. I want to bless people. I want to communicate to the people I love around you that don't yet know me. I love the world and I want to use you. I want to bear much fruit. But the only way that's going to come is if you abide in me and I abide in you. It's not about how cute you are, how gifted you are. It's about how abiding you are and how abiding I am. That's where the fruit is. Jesus lives in me, and he wants to live through me. Now let me wrap this up. There's a bunch more scriptures. I think the notes will be available online. You can get them. Grace sets a higher bar. Let me close with this. Titus 2 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. That same salvation we spoke about in the beginning, this gospel is the power of God for salvation. He's talking about the same word. He goes, this grace has appeared, and it teaches that there is a message of salvation for everybody. It teaches us to say no. Grace, fundamentally, the biggest message of grace is to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions so that we can live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the middle of this current age, in the middle of the nonsense that's going on in the world. This gospel is not about us primarily trying to look spiritual to other people. This gospel is a gospel that works from inside out. So I love that song. I've been washed from the inside. This gospel is about the Lord taking grip deep on the inside of me and by His Holy Spirit beginning to work out the nature of Jesus in me and then through me. This gospel is about the places deep in my heart where sin has taken root. It's about the Holy Spirit coming and just breaking that stronghold and removing that hand and bringing freedom and liberty and wholeness back on the inside of me so that it manifests to the outside of me. So that what you see is what you get. This is who I am to the bone. And sometimes who I am is not yet who I want to be. And when I'm like that, I'm going to ask you, please, show me a little love and grace. Hold my feet to the flame. Don't let me get away with it. But love me while I try harder. Love me while the Holy Spirit teaches me. And I'll do the same for you. Because that's what we're supposed to be about. We're not a group of perfect people. We're a group of human beings who are indwelt by God Almighty. Jesus died for us. He died as us. He lives in us. He wants to live through us. That's the gospel we preach. Jude 24, let me close with this. This is what God promises. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Some people sitting in this room and you go, I really need the power of the gospel to go deeper than my head. I need it to hit my heart because there are some things that feel like they've got a grip on me deeper, internal, inside. And this is stuff I'm trying to hide, but I'm a slave maybe to fear or to greed or to anxiety, or to lust, or to love of money, or to something. Something's got a grip of me, Greg, and I'm scared, honestly. Have I got good news for you? This gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Because this gospel is not a gospel of works. It's a gospel that says from the very first to the very last, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He can reach down on the inside of you because He lives in you and He breaks things. There may be some people in this room who need to say, Lord, I'm repenting. Forgive me for that thing I did, for that thing that holds me, for the way I've been. Forgive me, Lord. But it's not a I'm going to do better. It's a Lord, forgive me, but I'm going to reach out and put my faith in your gospel. I'm reaching out to say, thank you that you've washed me, but thank you, Lord, that I'm dead because you died. And thank you that you live in me, and thank you that you want to live through me. I'm just going to believe for all of that. So I'm going to invite you, Holy Spirit, would you come in deep within me and make all of that true in my heart. If any sin holds me, break it off. So Greg, this is not as nice. You usually preach happy messages. I want to tell you something. I'd rather us do honest business with God. I'd rather us say, Holy Spirit, let your mercy come also to me. Because better men and women than you and I have messed up. And I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want us to be that people. I want us to be authentic. Real people with a real gospel and a real God. So I'm going to pray a prayer now, and I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And you're not asking people to stand. I'm not asking you to identify yourself, because I'm identifying myself right now. This is my prayer. So I just want to offer my prayer to my King in your presence, and you can join me in praying this for you. Let's pray together. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come with a boldness, Lord, because your word says that we should approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. So here I am, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that you would forgive me, wash me, break, Lord, in me any hold that sin may have. Jesus, you live in me. Would you root out, Lord, any lies that the enemy has managed to embed in me? Break the lie, Lord. Shine light on it. Prove it to be false. Lord, we put our faith in you because your gospel proclaims, Lord, that there is power for our salvation. And I'm asking, Lord, in those areas deep within that only you and I know about, would you help me, Jesus? Would you break me free? Would you cause me to walk in purity and freedom and joy? Lord, Holy Spirit, come and fill me again, once again, with your freedom. Give me ears to hear and a heart to respond so that I may walk well before you. I'm thanking you, Lord, there's no condemnation for us because we're in Christ. So, Lord, we're not beating up on ourselves, but we are honest and earnest, Lord, saying we really need your help. Because this gospel is powerful and effective. This gospel does transform. So, Lord, I'm bringing myself to you again, offering myself again as a living sacrifice, retracting, Lord, any offer I've made to sin with the elements of my body or the elements of my heart or the elements of my mind. I retract that offer, but I bring it all together, Lord, and I offer it again to you. Lord, Holy Spirit, work in me. Make of me what you want. Now, Father, by the authority that you gave me, I break off anxiety off anybody here. I break you in Jesus' name. I command fear to be broken and gone off the people. I command lust in any minute measure, immorality in any way. I break your hold. Get off your people. Get off these people. I break, Lord, anything that would hinder the peace and the blessing of God. I break it off, but I release now, Lord, the peace of our God, the shalom of God, the kindness of God, the love of God. And I thank you, Lord, that I release your people with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.